You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. So hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Haley Straw. Haley is an Amish taxi driver. I'm going to admit that when she pitched to be on the podcast, part of the reason I wanted to do this interview is that I had no idea what that even meant. So in this interview, Haley shares her journey of how she lives in close proximity to an Amish community, and she drives them to various events. So that's what she does. Haley doesn't just drive the Amish along the way. She began to document her experiences and share that. So if you were like me and you did not have any idea what an Amish taxi might be, you won't be surprised that, of course, one of the questions that I ask is, how did you get started doing this? How did you find out that this was even a thing? And that question actually connects to her deeply personal story of ending a 22-year marriage and questioning her faith. So a small production note before we get into the interview. We did have a tiny bit of audio trouble when we were recording this. The audio volume when I listened to the recording is actually very strong and fine, and your experience as a listener should be great. Haley did have some trouble hearing me when we were doing the recording, and so I did give this interview a little extra TLC in the editing process, but if it sounds a little different to you as the listener, that's why. If you watch this episode on YouTube, you'll actually see Haley get very, very close to her speaker so that she can hear me, which is very sweet. And with that little production note out of the way, are you ready to hear about Amish taxis? I'm ready. Let's go. Haley Straw, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Yay. All right. I'm happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat? Yes, let's do it. All right. So I begin every interview by asking people where they are. So where in the world do you call home?
In the Show Me State, Missouri.
Show Me State, Missouri. All right. And in that'll, I think that'll come back into our conversation when we talk about what we're talking about today. I like to ask people before we dive into the topic of the day, I like to ask people a little bit about themselves, not about their family and not about their job, but if you would share with us a little bit about a hobby or a pastime or something you want to share with the audience.
I love to forage.
Forage.
Food and medicine. I can't grow a garden to save my life, but God does. So I know how to harvest and utilize wild plants. Yeah.
Fantastic. I've gotten a lot of answers to that question, but never foraging. That's an excellent answer. We could have been a whole other podcast. Okay. So what we're going to talk about today is actually two choices that I think that you have made in your life that are probably connected. One is leaving a religious community and the other is becoming an Amish taxi driver. Does that sound like something we can talk about today? Let's do it. All right. So I have a lot of questions and maybe not about exactly what you're thinking about it, but I think the way this might go today is I might walk you through this kind of backwards. Let's start with that if we can. I don't actually even know what an Amish taxi driver is. So can you start by telling us what an Amish taxi driver is?
The Amish, they drive horse and buggy for their transportation. The max speed I've seen a buggy go is 10 miles an hour. So if they want to travel farther than the horse and buggy can take them, which would probably be reasonably 10 miles, so right inside their community, then they hire a non-Amish person called an English person, typically with a big van. They like big vans because they have big families. And they hire them to drive them other places, like to doctor appointments, to weddings, to funerals, to family reunions. They love to go to auctions.
And so, very good. Okay, so you drive a van and you are transporting Amish families. Okay, so how did you come to be an Amish taxi driver? How did you even find out that this was a job?
I didn't know anything. We moved out to Missouri from Portland, Oregon, 10 years ago. I have six children. We had a maxi van, right? Big van. And I went to an Amish house asking for salt. Sometimes they will sell things from their homes. Like most communities have a dry goods store. So I went to the dry goods store. They didn't have what I wanted. So they directed me to this Amish house. And so I went to the Amish house and I asked for salt. And they had salt. And then when I was there, a guy ran out of his goat milking barn and he saw, I actually had my big pickup truck at the time when I was driving to the grocery store, but he saw my big pickup truck and he said, "We need drivers. We pay really well, 75 cents a mile. Will you drive for us?" And like, whatever you're saying, dude.
And at the time, were you looking for a job? Was this something that you needed in your life? Were you looking for something to do?
I was ready for an adventure before I left, and we'll talk about this later. I'm sure my marriage was already broken. It was already on the verge of completely collapsing. And my husband was struggling to find a job here to feed our big family. So it was an opportunity to contribute to the family. And it was something that I could do and take my children one or two at a time with me on these trips. So I thought,
Okay.
why not?
All right. Okay. So the job found you is actually what happened then. Now, how long have you been doing this? How long have you been being doing the Amish taxi driver gig?
10 years. Right now, I'm just driving for my next door neighbor. I'm riding full time,
Okay.
so taking a little break.
Very good. Okay. So I have a lot of questions, and I don't know where the line is exactly for being like, I want to be sensitive to the Amish culture and also ask questions about it. So I'm going to try and be very careful. I actually live in Florida, and on the west coast of Florida is a location called Siesta Key. It's a beach. When I visit there, there is an Amish or Mennonite community nearby them. I think they drive. I think that they come to the beach in vans. I really don't know. I'm not very aware of what they're doing. We just meet on the beach looking for shells and sand dollars. But do you consider yourself, after doing this for 10 years, have you picked up a lot about the Amish community because of the work that you're doing?
No more than I wish I did sometimes, yes.
All right. So you have written a book about some of this, and you have a TikTok where you share the experience. When did driving the Amish taxi shift to writing about it and sharing the experience with other people?
I had been here for a year and I had just started driving. I drove back to visit my family in Portland and I visited with friends and they surrounded me, hounding me with questions about the Amish because they knew I drove them a little bit and I interacted with them frequently. They were just so interested in the things I had to share and I thought, well, that's interesting. So I started documenting my experiences driving the Amish and writing about how I got to know them because my friends were so curious. And my children also, they've traveled with me extensively and been to Amish homes and the stores and just immersed themselves in this culture with me. And I thought, what a unique childhood they're having. So I should probably just document this. So I've been writing for 10 years. It's just now I'm putting them together in book form.
And book form, and it's that's not surprising to me because I have lots of questions about this, and so it makes sense that your friends and I have a lot of things in common, it sounds like. So I do have a couple of silly questions about how this might work. How do you connect with your clients for the taxi rides?
So back to the story of how I got started, and I did write this in more detail in my first book. Elmer, when he came and he asked me to drive, I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." So he's like, "Well, hold on." So he went inside his house, he got a pen, he got a piece of paper, he came back out, he wrote his name and his address on this piece of paper, and he handed me this piece of paper. And I'm like, "Okay, no phone number." So I went to talk to somebody that I go to church with that I knew drove the Amish. And I'm like, what is this? And he's like, well, they want you to drive for them. I said, but there's no phone number. What am I supposed to do with that? And he's like, well, they have a phone shack. Like each community has their way of living. And this community in particular, they had one phone shack for, oh gosh, it was probably 100 families spread out over 20 miles. Okay. one phone shack where they have a landline where they can make calls out, but they cannot receive calls in. So
Oh.
eventually, I put up a flyer in one of their dry goods stores with my phone number. Then they could call me and ask me to drive them.
So they call you and ask you to drive them, and you have to set up all of the details on that one phone call because there's no way to reach back out.
Unless I contact another driver in that community and I do have their phone numbers. I'm like, hey, Albert, can you go and talk to Elmer for me? Because I've got to get a message to him instead of driving 20 miles away to talk to Elmer, right? Drivers help each other out.
How many drivers are there in your community, roughly?
We're never enough. That's why he was so anxious. He's like, ooh, nice big truck. And I happen to have a big van too. And so they look for drivers a lot. They like to collect drivers' phone numbers and just carry them around in their wallet. So anytime they need something, they can call somebody and go somewhere.
Very interesting. All right. And then the next question is similar. This is definitely driven by the fact that these days, for me, if I'm ordering a taxi or an Uber or a Lyft, I'm using an app and everything is paid electronically. How, so you said it's 75 cents a mile. How are they paying you?
They offered me, I made more than that. They like to get a bargain. How do they pay me?
How do they pay you? Yeah.
Most often by check.
By check. I was expecting you to say cash. I was expecting you to say cash. So most often they're paying you by check. That is really, really famous. That is very, the whole thing is very interesting to me that this is an adaptation and a way this very tight-knit community has sort of expanded beyond their restrictions. I think that's amazing. I think that's amazing. So then if you are taking them to like medical appointments, does that mean that it's almost like you're taking, do you have to wait while they have the appointment? Do you drive them there and then hang out and wait because there's no way for them to call you back?
Hobbies. I like to crochet and I like to walk and I like to write. So I always have plenty to do while I'm waiting.
But you do, you wait, you just hang out and then take them back. Okay.
Right.
You're an extension of their family for the day, serving as the taxi. All right, very good. So you are not Amish. You grew up in a different faith. And part of your story is, which not actually the same story as driving the taxi, is that you have had to rethink your relationship with your own faith group, I think, right? Yeah. How, do you want to? So I've actually ended up, it's funny thing about this show, I've end, the interviews tend to, the topics sometimes come in clusters. And I've had a couple of conversations with people who about faith and leaving faith, specifically Mormonism, which is your that's the faith you were raised in, Mormonism, correct? Yeah, so you were raised in the Mormon faith. What do you want to share the story of what was going on in your life, how you found yourself in a position to be questioning your role in Mormonism?
Yeah, so I was raised by a Mormon mom and a Catholic dad, and I joined the church when I was 15. And then I followed the prescribed script for all good Mormons. I went to Brigham Young University, right? The Mormon college. I went to the one in Idaho. I found my husband there, who was a returned missionary. For those of you that don't know, the church strongly encourages young men, the ages of like 18 to early 20s, to serve a 2-year mission for the church. In fact, my son just returned from one last year.
Okay.
So married a returned missionary, got married in the temple that is located in Portland, Oregon, that only Mormons can go into. You have to live a very, very, very high standard to get into the Mormon temple. Did that, and then we had our big family, right?
Yep.
So, and he, oh gosh. So for the record, I am like I took a big break from the church. I'm back in the church, but I'm very awake, and I have,
Okay.
do you know what I mean? I don't prescribe to everything. I question everything. I have to be really careful to stay in good standing with the church. But we got married, and the Mormon teaches very strict standards of moral conduct. And so we were both very afraid of anything considered immoral. We dressed painfully modestly, not as modest as the Amish, but we were just like, we were both virgins when we married, like completely 100% inexperienced, scared of intimacy. And it really got our marriage off on a really bad foot. Like, we never got that worked out in our marriage. And we had six kids, but I'm telling you, it didn't take much to have six kids. And unfortunately, that came from our Mormon upbringing, or at least how we internalized our Mormon upbringing. And my ex-husband really struggled to provide for us. We were in poverty most of our married life. And after we moved here for a fresh start, we were still in poverty. And so our marriage fell apart after 22 years. But if I can back up, what really got me questioning things, because I was a very obedient, I was kind of like a domesticated hen, I should say, if I can say that. Like, I did what was safe, I followed the rules. I wanted to just stay in my place. I was very shy, like a violet. I just wouldn't question anything, step out of place. I wanted to be this perfect person. And so I did. I was that person. And then, because we raised our family a little bit, well, poverty was part of what played into what happened to us, but also I was homeschooling, I was home birthing, I was feeding my children very healthy. I was very hands-on in how I raised my children, and I tend to do things how people would say the hard way.
Okay.
And so that scared some people that I went to church with that I had known since I was 5 years old in this church. And so Child Protective Services was called on my family when I had five children. My oldest was 10 and my youngest was like one. And that woke me up because they wanted to come investigate, see what was going on. And I thought, what in the world what is going on here? I have to protect my family. So I started questioning a lot of things, not only what our rights are in America, but also the church. So that's kind of what started the
So that's
questioning
all
process.
right. So that's what started the process. And then, all right. So you were raised in this church. It's obviously a very important part of your personhood. It's something you selected it as a university, but your marriage didn't make it. And is that how important is that within the Mormon faith? Like, was it okay that you ended your marriage, or what happened when your marriage fell apart?
Okay, so there's a quote. I love quotes. A former leader of the Mormon Church, and it says, "No other success can compensate for failure in the home." And I was taught that from the time I could remember. And to me, that means, you have a strong marriage and you stay married forever. Mormons believe in marriage forever, beyond the grave. And you also raise your family as best as you can. The father provides, the mother stays home and nurtures. The family runs the home, right? So, yeah, divorce is not a good thing in the Mormon church. It's happening a lot more. But yeah, it was definitely frowned upon.
Frowned upon, but not something that gets you excommunicated.
Right. If you're Amish, it would get you excommunicated, but I'm Mormon, so it didn't.
It
Yeah.
didn't. Okay. All right. So how old were you when you got married?
I was 20. Way too young.
20 when you got married, and then married for 22 years. 42, you got divorced.
Right.
And this happens in Missouri. So, do you and your ex-husband and all of your kids still live in Missouri?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And now the kids are not young. Are you, how old are the kids now?
My oldest is 24 and my youngest is 12.
So you still have pretty much everybody living at home.
I still have what?
All the kids are still living at home, and are you still homeschooling?
Yeah, I'm still homeschooling. So my oldest is married. She lives in Kansas. And my third one, I just moved her back to Portland, Oregon, in October. So yeah, we've got four at home.
So that's very okay. That's wonderful. And so you've built a wonderful life for yourself with some challenges for sure. But if you could go back and talk to your younger self before you got married, maybe the 19-year-old version of you, what advice might you give her?
I had no confidence. My mother left me and my dad when I was two, and that caused me a lot of turmoil. And how I responded was I hated on myself. I thought I was worthless, right? Your mom actually leaves you, doesn't is not involved in your life moves to another country, like completely gone. And so that really affected who I believed I was as a person, and I believed I was worthless. And so I really tried to be perfect. Thus, I followed the Mormon plan, right, for happiness in this life. So when I was 19, I thought I was ugly. I thought I was stupid. Anyway, I was in a terrible state, and I didn't know who I was. So I would have really worked on feelings of self-worth, and I would have hopefully had the courage to try new things, to question things, to step outside the box. But I didn't, and so it was a really sandy foundation for a marriage.
I think that's actually really good advice for a whole bunch of different situations, not just marriage and outside of the faith. I think that a lot of people feel that at different points in their life, like to work on yourself and your confidence before you leap into the world. Okay, so in a minute, we're going to do the final questions, but I want to give you a chance to tell people about the writing you do, about your books, about your TikTok channel, and all those things.
About the writing I do. Okay. So I just write true stories about the Amish before I started writing my books, because there are endless books about the Amish, and most of them are romance, and they fantasize the Amish and they put them on this pedestal like their life is perfect. And I thought that too when I moved out here. I thought, wow, they're so much better than us. I was afraid of them because I'm so human. So I learned that they're human, and I was looking all over the place for a book that somebody had written from an Amish taxi driver's perspective, and I couldn't find one, not one. So I thought, ooh, good, then I'm gonna do it. Because I've stayed in their homes, I've been with them for births. I have a friend, and I was with him when he died. And that's going to be my next book, is going to be about births, deaths, and weddings. I've been with them in these life moments. I've been to their funerals and their weddings and just everything. And I've stayed in their homes. And I can give a unique perspective of an outsider looking inside, right? There are lots of books written by people who have been raised Amish and left, and they give a unique perspective. I like to think I give a perspective that hasn't been given before, because I'm not Amish, but I'm still in their world, right?
Absolutely.
Does that make
Yes.
sense?
It does. Tell us the name. So you have what's the name of the book that's out already?
So this series is called Tales of an Amish Taxi Driver. I've written
Okay.
two books in this series, working on the third. The first one is my journey into the Amish world. It's how I became acquainted with the Amish, my first experience in an Amish home, my experiences driving them and getting to know them, and how silly they are, because they are hilarious. They're full of antics, okay? And then the second one I never intended to write. It was 2022 winter, and it was brutally cold, like in the negatives without the wind chill in the whole Midwest corridor. And everything that could go wrong went wrong on these three trips I had, except for everybody lived. Yeah, I think that's the only thing that went right. Everybody lived. So that became a book called Amish Christmas Mishaps.
Amish Christmas Mishaps, Tales of an Amish Taxi Driver. I love it. I love it. And you also have a TikTok that you update with some of the small stories that you share so people can find you there. And I'll put the links to both of those in the show notes. I always encourage the audience to subscribe to my email list at imperfectadulting.com because then I just email you those links directly. Okay. So I'm going to ask you three questions. The idea is that you just answer with whatever comes to mind when they're not related to our conversation before. Okay. So, but because you are a TikToker and you have a TikTok account, who is somebody that you follow on TikTok? What's a favorite account that you have on that you watch on TikTok?
Get in trouble if I just pick one. So there are a few ex-Amish. Eli
Okay.
Yoder, have you heard of him?
No, all of this is outside of my wheelhouse. So teach me, teach me, teach me.
He's raised Amish, and then he left the Amish church for the worldly life, as the Amish call it, our life. And he is a truck driver, and he calls himself the preaching truck driver. A lot of Amish will leave the religion because they're looking for something else. They feel like Amish culture and religion is full of man-made rules. So Eli left because he wanted to break free from what he felt like were the man-made rules and really find a relationship with Christ. So he has millions of followers. So Eli Yoder, the preaching truck driver, and then there's another one called Milo Miller, and he actually lives in Florida. He's close to Sarasota, Florida, where the Amish gather and they winter. He's ex-Amish and he's really good too. And then there's another one. Oh my stars, he would choke me now because I'm forgetting his name. But there's another ex-Amish guy that I like to follow. Those are my favorite ones.
All right, very interesting. So you're really immersed in this culture outside of just driving the Amish taxi. That's really interesting. Okay. Basic question, unrelated. What is your favorite season of the year? Say it
Just got back from Hawaii because there's no summer in Missouri in the winter. So.
All right, so summer is your favorite season. That's delightful. Okay, very good. And then this one is a little tricky, but is there anything in your life that you know that you've done, but you know you never ever want to do it again in the rest of your whole wonderful life? Divorce. You don't want to go through divorce again. All right.
Don't go through divorce again.
Very good. All right. That's a wonderful answer. That's it, Haley Struth. Thank you so much for being a wonderful guest on the show today. Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again. Please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.